Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we pray that the hearers of your word, would know that Jesus went into the wilderness and to the cross to defeat Satan, so that when we find ourselves in Satan's darkness, we will trust Jesus is with us. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, in the ancient world, Satan was not always pictured as an evil monster, or hell as a place of fire and burning. No, Satan and hell were often portrayed as more benign images. But brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Evil Satan and hell were portrayed as the absence of God, as complete nothingness, as complete emptiness. Sort of like two parallel lines going into some eternal nothingness. To be connected to evil, to Satan, was simply to be detached from reality as we know it, with no points of reference to real life, to our common everyday experience. And this may be why in the garden Satan presents himself as a serpent. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever touched a snake? There is no other feeling like it in the world. It is unreal. A creepy feeling often causes your body to shudder. Snakes can create fear. They are not part of our normal everyday life. Just last week in Florida, my wife and I were walking down the street, and all of a sudden I went, "Stop!" I said, "What's the matter?" I said, "There's a snake right there." And I have to say, there's not too many things in this world that scare me. And this snake really didn't scare me, because at first I said, "Oh, it's just a common corn snake." But then I got to thinking, I'm in Florida. I'm not sure what the snakes look like in Florida. From my way of thinking, it could be a coral snake or some other poisonous snake. And my wife says, "Well, get it out of the road before a car runs over it." It had already been hit once, but it was still slithering around. And so I thought about it for a minute, and I said, I don't have a stick to pick it up with. And I'm not about to reach down and grab it. And I says, "Oh, it'll get out of the way," and off we went. Snakes cause us to rethink what we are doing. Just as a great outburst of transgression is called falling into sin, and denying Christ is falling from grace. Isn't it true that when you fall, your body goes into immediate shock? And sometimes panic, because gravity as you know it has been suspended. You are detached from the only reality that you know and trust. When you fall, you're completely out of control. And this may be why in the desert, Satan tempts Jesus. It's a place of nothingness with very few points of reference. just endless sand and rocks. No life, no vegetation, just plain nothing. Endless nothingness. The desert is the opposite of paradise, which was filled with the complexity of life, overflowing with all kinds of delights. And this is why darkness and Satan are always linked together. Most people have never experienced total darkness, where there are no points of reference. Place yourself in a dark cave and with absolutely no light, and you will know a kind of fear that can only be described as demonic. Once when I went to Merrimack Caverns, they had lights all the way down. You go down through the walkway and everything, and once everybody's in, they say, okay, everybody, get ready. We're going to turn off the lights. And they turn off virtually every light in the place. And I heard screams. And I heard people trying to catch themselves from falling. Your equilibrium goes all away. You don't have anything to reference to hold on to. Complete nothingness encompasses you. And disorientation sets in almost immediately, and people begin to panic. And that's why they don't leave the lights off for very long. They used to leave them out for a longer period of time, and they caused total panic and chaos in the cave. Well, my friends, God created the world out of nothing. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the first thing that God said on the first day of creation was, "Let there be light." And suddenly the darkness, the nothingness was dispelled. From now on, all the goodness God would create could be seen. Light was now separate from darkness. And on the fourth day, lights were placed in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth. Lights were placed to give us reference, to rule over the day and the night. The lights would give us something to where we could see all the delights that God had given us. And God saw that it was good. What God created good, however, suddenly became very dark when the slithering serpent infected our first parents with sickness through his deceit and guile. The serpent tempted them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. The tree that would open their eyes to the darkness. And so they ate. And their eyes were opened. And they no longer saw the goodness of God's creation with its richness and diversity and complexity. Their eyes were now lowered in shame at their nakedness as they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now they knew fear. Fear of total darkness. Fear of life without God. And from this moment on, Adam and all his children would be infected with the virus of sin and death and darkness. And darkness would reign over them. My friends, if we are honest with ourselves, we must confess that we are Adam's poor, miserable children, and that his disobedience has infected us to our very core. And there is nothing good in us, only darkness. As St. Paul says in Romans 5:12, sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Jesus' first act after his baptism was to do what we could not do. The second and greater Adam was led by the Spirit into the darkness of the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. Jesus, God's very Son, and the devil knew that the only way to defeat Jesus was to get him to forsake his sonship, his cross, his destiny of suffering the full darkness of those 3 hours on the cross, where God's violence and anger against Satan's lies and our disobedience were unleashed upon Jesus in the most violent moment the world has ever known. Satan was smart. He was subtle. He was sly. He said to Jesus, "Oh, grab a little bit of glory now, Jesus, because you can. Turn those stones into bread. Throw yourself down from the temple. God's angels will protect you. Bow down and worship me, and all these things will be yours." But Jesus knew his destiny was the darkness of the cross. He fought off Satan's attempt to keep him from his appointment with death, and Jesus fought Satan with the only weapon that could defeat him. Jesus spoke the creative word into the darkness, into the nothingness of the wilderness, for he knew what the psalmist said was true. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The living word of this second greater Adam gave light to Jesus' path all the way to Golgotha. A light shining even today in the deepest darkness. My friend, Satan comes to us, and when he tempts us, he says things like, "Grab a little bit of enjoyment. After all, it's right here for your taking. Nobody else will know. Do this or do that. You deserve to have some enjoyment." God knows your circumstances, and he knows that you need to do this, so he's not even going to hold it against you. And oftentimes, the light of Jesus Christ does not shine through us, and we fall to those temptations. Now, Satan will make one more attempt to keep Jesus from the cross. In another garden outside of Jerusalem, Jesus sees the cup of God's wrath against our sin, the cup he must drink on Calvary. He looks over the abyss and sees the horror of the darkness he must enter on our behalf. And he cries out, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Now, Adam and Eve could not say this. You and I can't say this. For we are their children. Only Jesus can look into the horror of our darkness and faithfully do his Father's will. Only God's human Son can do what we cannot do. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Only through suffering and death is God making right what has gone wrong. To enter the darkness and bring forth the light of the resurrection of his body from the dead. Jesus makes right what has gone wrong by taking on Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the wilderness, and on the cross, and triumphing, and then lightening our darkness with the light of his resurrected flesh. So when we fall into temptation and we fall to the sin, we are not thrown into the darkness forever. But through repentance, we are forgiven and brought back into the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus' cross is where you see both your salvation and the pattern of your life. When your suffering becomes so intense and the darkness so deep, trace on your forehead the baptismal cross that binds you to Jesus, who continues to feed you with his very body and blood at his table. And then in Jesus say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When you enter darkness, when you succumb to temptations, Jesus is there, present with you, overcoming the darkness because his light is always with you. Excuse me. As the author of the Hebrews said, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Those who suffer through the darkness know that there is nowhere to go but to Jesus. Just as Jesus knew there was nowhere to go but to the Word of Life during those 40 dark days of hunger and temptation in the wilderness. When you enter a great darkness, know that Jesus went into the wilderness for you. And he is always with you, and he is always in you, shining his light into the deep recesses of your life. Deep down in the darkness, there is only one source of light, and that light is Jesus. Jesus knows you are battling the evil one. He even gives you a song to sing, the soldier psalm, Psalm 91. And I encourage you to read that psalm today, on which is based the intro it assigned for today. Your baptism has enlisted you as foot soldiers on the front line of the war against Satan. And though the battle is waging all around you, though you are surrounded by darkness, you fear nothing. Covered by God's angels, Jesus' Lenten greeting to you is this. From Psalm 91. "When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Jesus shows us his salvation each and every day. So, my friends, don't be afraid of the darkness. For only in the darkness do we truly let go and let God be God. If you would, please turn to your pew hymnal, to the front of it, to page 243. 243. The morning prayer. And let us read together the lines on this page. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and I'm just checking to see if you're still awake. Page 243. No, that's not the one I want. That was the mistake I made. You're just trying to make me look bad. Not really. 243. The evening prayer. Thank you. Are you ready? Let's read the whole thing together. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and illumine your church. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ, our salvation. Amen.